This morning, Josh and Bob and I, we've been talking through a passage in Matthew all week long. And in this passage, Jesus sums up, what is life with God all about? What is it like when you follow God the way you're supposed to? And if that question got posed to you, how would you answer it? It's a big topic. What is it like to follow God? What is life with God like? Well, Jesus sums it up in a very, very short story. It's just one sentence, even. We're going to read it here. It's Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven, that means where God has his way. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. So Jesus packs a lot of truth into one little sentence. And just like if you had something that you're trying to really figure out, you might put it under a microscope and blow it up, look at it in detail. Today we're going to take this story, and this week I've come up with a little bit bigger story, but I'm going to try to point out some details about what is life with God like. So if you stick with me through this fictional story, then we'll talk a little bit about it, okay? Our story centers in on one guy, and isn't it funny how sometimes a person can be summed up by just one single word? Sometimes that even becomes their nickname, and that was the case for Digger, our guy here. Everybody in the town he lived in, they were all farmers. They all farmed all the time, but everyone called this guy Digger because most people would work in their fields during the day, and as soon as they could, as soon as their work was done, they'd go home, try to get as comfortable as they could, kind of switch their brain off. But Digger, as soon as he was done with his work in the field, would have that shovel on his shoulder, and he'd be out wandering around the countryside digging. And if you went to Digger and asked, what are you doing? Why are you digging all over the place? He'd heard this rumor. Everyone in the village had heard it, this rumor that there was treasure in this countryside. But obviously, Digger was the only one who really believed the rumor, because he's the only one with a shovel on his back and calluses on his hand. And so every day he's out there digging random holes all over the countryside, searching for this treasure. And he didn't even really know what the treasure was going to look like, but he believed that when he saw it, he would know. Well, that day actually finally came. He's digging in the dirt, and he hits something hard. He bends down, pulls this big rock out. And it's got this really bright green streak through it that he's never seen before. And it's not polished up, and it's not cut. And he's never heard the word emerald before, but he knows a treasure when he sees it. It's beautiful. And he starts to search the ground right around it, and he finds more of these emeralds are all over this little spot in this field. So there's a big smile on Digger's face. Ernie is like, yep, that would be pretty amazing. So he runs with the shovel on his shoulder, bouncing away as he's running. He runs back to his house, and he starts pulling all of his furniture, all of his pots and pans out of his house. And his neighbors start to gather around. What on earth is Digger up to now? They start to gather up, and Digger starts saying, hey, do you want to buy this table? Or hey, do you want to buy these pots? He starts selling everything that he owns, and all the people in the village thinking two things. One, they're thinking Digger has finally really gone off the deep end. But they're also thinking that's a pretty nice table. And so pretty soon all of Digger's stuff is sold. And there's a lot of commotion, but he silences everybody when he gets up and says, and now who wants to buy my field? Now, these guys are all farmers. Digger has worked that one plot of land his whole life. His whole legacy is tied up in it. And he's got standing grain that's ready to harvest in just a couple weeks. It's crazy to sell that field. So people are shocked, but somebody buys it. And Digger takes that all that wealth that he's just gotten, and he runs to the guy who owns the field where he found the emeralds, and he buys that little plot of land. And he's excited to do it. He's thrilled to give all of his wealth to get that field. Well, it doesn't take very long for Digger to start digging, and pretty soon, just a couple weeks, he's gotten a bunch of emeralds out of that field, and suddenly people will start to realize what he's up to. And so for the first couple weeks, Digger's life is incredible. He's full of joy because all of his life he's struggled just to feed himself, just to have enough to get by. And now suddenly he's got more than enough for himself. He's got this abundance. He starts to help other people that are in need. And life is awesome for a few weeks. But see, Digger stretches himself too thin. He overextends. And as he's digging, it gets deeper and deeper. It gets harder to dig. If you guys have ever dug around here, you get to clay pretty fast. And that shovel isn't bringing up near as much as it was at first. And pretty soon he's gone days and days without finding any treasure. And soon those days turn into weeks. And he starts to think like, oh man, this is a mess. But Digger's a smart guy. And he's a hardworking guy. And so he sits down in this hole that he's dug. And he thinks, what am I going to do? And his first thought is, I should get some better tools. I've just got this one shovel. So he goes out, gets himself a pickaxe, and that helps. For a few weeks, he's really able to grind up that clay, and he's able to get down deeper, and there's more emeralds in there. And so he's got this other period of a few months where he's got an abundance to share again. But Digger's just one person, and one person, even with a lot of good tools, can only go so far. Digger makes this massive hole. He's gotten a lot of emeralds out of it, but he gets to a point where he's used up all the treasure that he's found. It's been weeks and weeks without finding anything else. He's hungry. He doesn't have any stuff. And he thinks, I was better off when I had just the farm. I was better off before I ever found this treasure. Where's all this treasure gone to? Like, why can't I find any more of it? Well, Digger was lucky enough to have some family. And he goes to his siblings and he says, what am I supposed to do? I'm in this mess. Well, one of his sisters says, why didn't you tell us about this earlier? Like, why don't we come out and help you? And so some of his brothers and sisters, you know, a group of 8 or 9 of them come out, and they all start working together. And some of them have new ideas about how to dig. Some of them are like, why don't we dig in a new spot? Some of them are building like little trestises and things to like make sure they don't all have a huge cave in or something crazy. And pretty soon you've got this whole group of people working on that one field. And the treasure starts to flow like it never had before for just Digger. And there's so much wealth coming out of that field that doesn't just bless that family. The whole town is transformed by the treasure that is pouring out of that field. So that's our story. That's kind of our jumbo-sized parable. But it's got three things that I really want to drive home to us today in it. So this idea that Digger went out and actually believed enough to start digging, to start searching. And it was real easy at first once he found the treasure, but then he had to get some better tools if he still wanted to go and actually find what was there. And at the end of the story, he had success because he brought other people in with him. He didn't just try to do it on his own. Now, if you remember, I started talking with Jesus was explaining the kingdom of heaven, or life with God, when we live the way God wants us to. And so, Josh, can you kind of break down that first one to us? How does that tie in? How does digging tie in to life with God?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked, Jake. I think that, first of all, one of the things that we have to understand and believe is that God wrote us this book. And inside this book, he put the answers to all of the mysteries of life. He put the answers to all the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That he put the answers in a book, and then he gave the book to us. That's going pretty far on God's side. Now, what does it mean to dig? Well, to you and me, of course, it means to read God's word. Let me break this down to you. When I first got saved, I was talking about this with Brian Glover in Sunday school this morning. Do you guys remember when you first got saved and everything was, man, it was just fresh and it was brand new and you just was jumping up and down and you couldn't believe that it said this and I didn't know that and that's, whoa, you was just like, whoa, man, I can't believe this is all real and it's coming true in my life. Do y'all remember that? Yeah, me too, man. Woo, you'll never forget that time in your life where it all comes full circle and you're like, wow, this is freaking unbelievable. And as you go on a couple years down the road, just maybe reading Proverbs in the morning and reading one of the Gospels at night just ain't really getting it for you anymore the way that it did before. And I got there in my life. And so I came to Bob and I was like, Bob, it was after church one day. We're standing out there on the porch to this church right there. And I said, Bob, I got to talk to you, man. Like, God seems so far away. Like, have I done something wrong? And like what's going on? And Bob's response was, here's the words he said. Josh, there are libraries full of books that are written on this one topic. Thanks a lot, Bob. As I continued walking with Jesus, I understood that he's exactly right. That this is God's way of revealing more of who he is to us. Is that little proverb in the morning in the Gospel of John at night ain't filling you up the way that it used to. By design, it's to get you to dig more. Is to get you to seek him more. And then he put this verse in there somewhere where it says, if you'll seek me, you will find me. That's good stuff right there. It's his way of revealing himself to us. If you're there in your life right now, man, I was there. If that's where you're at, and you went through that stage where God was so close and you was fired up and it's kind of slowed down. Hey, stop. God didn't turn his back on you. There's nothing that you did to make him walk away from you. God's trying to grow you up and mature you into the man or the woman that he wants you to be for his kingdom. There you go. Bob's going to talk about number two.
I'm going to get to that in a second. Let me just say what Josh is saying is so true. And I am going to get to what you're saying in a second. But I want to kind of bring home a thought for right now. I used to preach in a housing project in Louisiana back when you could buy a Coke out of a Coke machine for 25 cents. Some of us remember those days. I remember when it was a nickel, too. So, at any rate. But yeah, I know it's horrible. One day I was coming out of my office, and my buddy Sam Yerby. Sam was just this neatest kid that lived just across the street from my office, and I really liked him. You know, years later I still remember his name. So we were buddies, and he goes, Pastor Bob, Sam, and he came up to me. You got a solid quarter? That meant just one, not two dimes and a nickel, a quarter. I didn't have one, but I've got the closest thing to that now with inflation, a dollar, okay? And so what Sam wanted was he wanted what was in my hand, which was some money. But what I wanted, and I gave him the quarter, gee whiz, but what I wanted was to give him my hand to be his friend, okay? What we're talking about in the treasure is a lot of us came in here today with something resembling Sam's desire for a quarter. Or my illustration with a dollar. It may not be money, but we came in here with something. And we came in hopes to get something from God. God, would you just give this to us? And God came here today too. And he's going to give you what you need. But what he really wants to give you is his hand. The treasure of this story is not what God can do to fill up my bank account or my needs or my emotional hurts or whatever it might be. The real treasure is God puts his hand in us. And Josh is exactly right. I mean, he is so right, and that is we do have to dig. And getting in the Bible is a great place to start. It isn't that we make God do something for us, but we put ourselves where God can do something for us. You understand that? You know, God is a gentleman, Josh. He does not kick the door in, all right? He knocks on the door and he asks you to invite him in, all right? And so as we create an environment where God can come in, he comes into our life. Okay? But then there are times, just like Josh talked about in our conversation, and there literally are books on this, where what we have done doesn't get it. Maybe we have made a step with God, and we've lived with him, and we have felt that wonderful feeling, but now for some reason things are tough. And friends, I'm going to be real honest. That's a time where we go back to our old habits. That's where we go back to our old stuff, no matter what lifestyle you might be in. So for some it might be chocolate cake, and others it may be something else, but we go back to the old. And God doesn't want us to go back to the old. He wants us to push through to the new. All right? And so this requires work, and it is not easy on our part. And the temptation is to say, well, I tried Jesus, and he didn't work for me. I'm going back to my old stuff. All right? You can't do that to yourself, or you will cheat yourself. Fair enough? And so you have to dig, number one. Number two is you got to find some new tools, and you got to dig deeper. All right? This last week I watched Earl Williamson and Dan Fuller work on some doors around here. And they were working on a metal door that needed a different tool than the one that Dan had. And Dan, I was looking over for Dan over here. He's normally sitting there. But way back there. And so instead of making one tool do everything, he went out and found the right tool for the right job. That is so true for our spiritual life. If the tool you're using in your spiritual life isn't working, you need to say, okay, what is the next tool? What can I do? So for me, I changed my Bible reading plan this year. And I'm doing one that I've never done before. And I'm changing a way of connecting with God a little bit, because I needed something fresh, something of that nature. Josh is going to talk about doing something in a group in just a minute. And being in a group may be the next step. Or you might get in a group and do like Josh did me on the front porch and say, Bob, this stuff is tough right now. What do I do? Okay? You all follow me? So number one is think about new tools. Number two, think about digging deeper. One of my professors in seminary is an interesting guy. He was a Shakespearean actor who also was part of some television stuff, and he was a great preaching professor. And one day he got up and he told the statement that Jesus gave, said, if you have faith, the grain of a mustard seed, you'll speak to this mountain and tell it to move into the sea and it'll go. And then the professor asked this question, what would happen if you speak to the mountain and it doesn't go off into the sea? What do? He said, you dig. Because if you dig, you'll find gold, or to use Jake's illustration, you'll find emeralds. And so some of us are looking at issues right now, square in the eye, and we have done everything we know to do to fix them, and they still haven't gotten fixed. So what do? Do we run back to the old life? No. Do we get frustrated with God and say, God, I tried you don't work? No. We dig deeper into God and say, God, okay, I am here. I'm giving you my best. I am trusting you all the way through, and let's see where the gold is. All right? He will do that. By the way, my Shakespearean actor, friend, preaching professor, had a child that was born with a huge disability. And his story was very personal, because he had prayed for the healing of his child and the help of his child, and that hadn't happened. But he dug, and he found a wonderful, beautiful life in a daughter who needed a lot of care and help. And he also, all of that other stuff was sideline work to pay her bills. Kind of interesting story. So dig deeper, get some tools, and Josh Monk, next.
Well, one of the new tools is find other people to help you dig. And that's what his story was about, is this guy went out and he goes, you know, I'm not getting real far by myself. So he went out and he got some buddies to help him dig. And so that leads me to this, is it reminds me, it was a couple years ago. How many years ago has it been since we started the Wednesday night group? It's been 5 years. Man, it went by fast. Wow. About 5 years ago, we started this Wednesday night group for the guys, you know. Started off with just a handful of people. You know, it was me and Dee and Eric Gossie and Matt Smith and Kenny Canellis, and there's a few other people in there. Scott Hoppinger was one of them. But anyway, we started this group. Oh, it was a special group. We came together. We talked about our lives. We talked about our struggles. We talked about victories. We got real with each other. We got honest with people. Most of us that was in that circle hadn't even ever been honest with anybody in our entire lives. We just lied. It was something new, and we experienced way more than what we thought we were going to experience. We experienced what true brotherhood is, man. And if you're from the life that I'm from, the only people that I was surrounded myself with in the past were people that wanted something out of my pocket or out of my sock. They wanted something that I had, or they wasn't going to be around me. And as time went on and we would meet, we would talk about, I remember it very vividly. It was great, wasn't it, Eric? Wasn't it? We created this bond with each other, guys. We created this bond it was untouchable. And I remember a guy gave another guy a car, and one guy got a couple other guys jobs, and this dude was watching this guy's kids so they could go out, and the whole time we're all praying for each other, mowing each other's yards. And this is strange behavior for grown men. In the world that we live in, to step outside of yourself and to love another person is strange behavior. Then check this out. There's a verse that Jesus says, man. He says, this is how they'll all know that you belong to me, by the way that you love each other. Amen. Amen's right.
So today, one of these spots might be where you're at. Maybe you see a hole in the story about Digger. You know, he had this nickname that summed up his whole life. People could call him Digger. Everybody knew him that way. If your friends and neighbors summed you up with a nickname, would it have anything to do with finding treasure in God? Is that the big activity that people think that's a little weird about this guy, but he does this, or he acts this way that's different? When I was reading the story that Jesus told in Matthew 13:44, whenever I'd pictured it in years past when I'd read it, I always thought the guy found like a treasure chest, like a pirate movie or something, you know, like this. And I always thought, like, why didn't he just take it? Why did he go back and buy the field? And that really stuck out to me this week, that the treasure was in the field. It wasn't something that you go stick under your bed for a rainy day. This idea, it's there. You got to work for it. You got to live. You got to sell everything you've got and live in that field and work at getting that treasure out. God's grace has created this awesome place that we can come to here at Maywood. He's created the Holy Spirit and given him to us, that we can have God with us in life. But if we don't live in that treasure place, if we don't dig, then we're not going to experience it. Every Sunday we end with a time of response. And I love about Maywood that people really do respond. I've been to a lot of churches where nobody does anything and it feels a little awkward for everybody. But if we're coming in here every week, if we're really responding to Jesus every week, that last image is going to be true, that the treasure that flows out of this field is going to change the whole community. Imagine if every week you started saying, I'm going to respond to Jesus in a fresh way this week. I'm going to do something. I'm going to take a step forward with God this week. And you actually did it. And you took some friends from here along with you. Very last story. We're running late on time, but I had one of the men here at Maywood came and talked to me this week, and he can't come to our small groups. I can't get into all that story just because of some scheduling and things like that, but he's known God his whole life pretty much, but he's run dry. He's at that spot where he's just hit the clay. My advice to him this week was, why don't you get some of your friends together and start a small group? And he said, other times in my life when I actually helped somebody else get closer to God, that's when I started to get close to God too. So if you're sitting here today and you're like, I don't know what my step is, think outside of the box. How do I take some people with me? How do I become a team player to get closer to God? Let's all pray. The worship team is going to be coming up to lead us in our response. Jesus, I thank you for making the treasure. Jesus, I thank you that you ultimately are the treasure. God, show us the step to take. Show us that we need to search for you. Show us the tool to use. Show us the people to do it with. Help us to respond right now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.